live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. It's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by High Country Rec V Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Q&A. Boy, what a contrast we have for today's show. You talk about a segue that'll induce whiplash. Where do you hear this? We're going to open up the show talking to our friends Mary Dillinger from the VA with her veteran suicide prevention specialist, Joey Carr, on behalf of our great veterans. Then, after the news break, near the bottom of the hour, pardon the whiplash, but we will hear my chat this morning with, are you ready for this, comedian and TV show host Paula Poundstone. She has had HBO specials. She's a regular panelist on the nationally broadcast radio news quiz show. Wait, I know. She's a published author, TV show host. She's been a stand-up hit for 30 years. She's been on all the late-night talk shows. And she is on stage a week from Saturday at the Yavapai College Performing Arts Center. So you will hear that at about 2:24 this afternoon, somewhere around there. Hey, as you know, we always welcome your questions and comments about Q&A. Drop me an email at djphone, that's D-J-F-O-N-E, at kqna.com. If you're a big fan of the rock band Queen, you'll want to show up this week. Only a few days left for the screenings of Bohemian Rhapsody, with the lyrics projected on screen and a sing-along. Check your local listings, but I believe those are at 1 o'clock and 6:30 for the rest of this week. And the ballots are in the mail for Oscar voters to choose their nominees for all the movie categories in time for the Oscars telecast in February. My own pick for best movie of 2018, it's a two-way tie. A Star is Born and Mary Poppins Returns. Some other great movies that a lot of critics are saying might qualify for Best Picture include Widows, which I thought was terrific, First Man, The Wife, A Special Favor, Black Klansman, If Beale Street Could Talk. That one, by the way, If Beale Street Could Talk, starts, I believe, tomorrow night at the Harkins 14. So get a glimpse of the Oscars and see the great movies while they're out at the Harkins 14 in Prescott Valley. Stay tuned, because we've got Mary and Joey coming up in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at kqna.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec V Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
We depend on our vehicles. They're supposed to get us safely from point A to point B. Work, doctor's appointment, running errands, even that family vacation. I'm Gary Denton, owner of AMCO Prescott Valley. Keeping you on the road and keeping you safe is what we do every day. AMCO is a trusted name in transmissions and automotive service, expertly serving our customers, our community, and no matter where you're headed, AMCO transmissions are backed by our nationwide 3-year, 50,000-mile warranty. So go ahead, hit the road, because your transmission is an AMCO transmission. AA, MCO.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
The greatest town on earth is the place you call home. At Cable One, it's where we call home, too. Get up to 100 megs for just $40 a month for 3 months. Now with unlimited data options. Just call 877-687-1427 for reliably fast internet across all your devices. up to 100 megs, $40 a month for 3 months. Connecting is easy. Call 877-687-1427 for details. Restrictions apply.
The Prescott Center for the Arts begins the new year with modern American theater at its best. Our main stage production is the explosive, passionate, and heartwarming play by Tennessee Williams, A Streetcar Named Desire. Our stage two production is a comedy with a kick in Kathleen Clark's Secrets of a Soccer Mom. A Streetcar Named Desire runs February 7th through February 17th. Secrets of a Soccer Mom runs January 17th through February 3rd. Tickets and information are available at pca-az.net.
It's tax time. Stop getting your taxes done where you buy your groceries. I am David A. Snyder, CPA, and I will install confidence in the quality and security of your taxes. On April 18th, those pop-up cubicles will be gone, but I will be there. With my ex-military tax-oriented mindset and 20 years of experience, I will guide you through current and past IRS issues. Step away from the phone apps and into my office. Call me at 445-0104, extension 9, or online at davidasnydercpa.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Fung.
And as promised, we have Joey Carr with our friend Mary Dillinger from the Northern Arizona VA. Mary, you know I always have you explain the entire name of your facility.
Yep, Northern Arizona VA Healthcare System.
I'm going to get it one of these days.
I think you like having me do it, DJ.
Well, that's true. That's true. You brought Joey Carr along with you. Joey, you were here a couple of years ago. You specialize as a veteran suicide prevention practice, correct?
That's correct. Every VA across the country has at least one. Most have anywhere from 2 to 6 suicide mm-hmm. prevention staff at their local VA and sometimes also at their clinics out in the community.
Are veterans more prone to suicide than people of the same age who are civilians?
Absolutely. They're finding that veteran suicide is much higher than the civilians out there. I tell the vets, you do it more than anybody else does.
Mm-hmm. And the help is available if they will seek it out, correct?
Absolutely. And I think not only we wait for them to seek it out, we also do a lot of outreach. We do a lot of giving away materials with the hotline number on it. We do things like radio shows to get the word out. So it's not just waiting for them to come to us. We go out looking for vets. And I think the critical part of the numbers are 20 a day these days.
20 a day?
20 a day. And probably the most critical part of that is only 6 of those 20 are coming to a VA for care.
Mm-hmm.
So 14 out of those 20 do not come see us at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't know they exist, there's not much we can do.
What are some of the reasons you can point to for the high rate of veteran suicides?
Well, they say there's a lot of obviously military service related. There's a lot of combat related issues. There's also transitions, difficulty in transitioning back to civilian life that we're finding, especially with our young vets returning from the military right now, kind of figuring out where to fit in. Your friends that were your friends when you left are now someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids are older. Maybe the, you know, significant other you had when you left isn't there when you get back.
Sure.
So I think that's very difficult. And then trying to go back to school or a job and finding out some of the impact of combat may be, you know, impacting their life like they didn't think it would.
And the impact of combat, of course, we also see with first responders locally, because you see things that the rest of us only envision in our nightmares, and you have to deal with it. That can have lingering effects, correct?
Absolutely. There's a lot of similarities to first responders with military combat vets.
And PTSD, right?
Absolutely. PTSD and, you know, accumulated trauma is something that they really look at. The VA actually has created, and we are doing quite frequently, at least 2, 3, 4 times a year, is created a training program mm-hmm. for law enforcement, not only about veterans, but some of the similarities between veterans and law enforcement.
You know,
so
when
we're
you
doing
look,
that out there.
When you look at veterans who served in combat and first responders, these are some of the toughest people there are. They have to be able to do that job. So how tough is it for them to admit, I need help?
I hope we're getting better with that. And I think one of the keys is having a lot of veterans work with other veterans.
There
is no doubt that the familiarity with the issues are there between veterans. I'm not a veteran. I still I have an impact. I know. But they definitely have something different to offer than I can offer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they talk about it takes a village. Well, it takes more than that.
That's for
but it
sure.
takes everybody.
And this community, I have to say, when Joey first told me about the training with the that we have with our first responders that the VA was doing, this community was all about it. And I think that's a big mm-hmm. part of it is that we have such a veteran centered community with so many veterans that live and work here, that the moment you say we want to do something for veterans, you the doors open up and all
sure.
these people say, what can we do, how can we help?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, am I right, Joe?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And mm-hmm. among the many ways the Northern VA healthcare system can help, I know, Mary, you've got some events coming up. One is called A Matter of Balance, which is in affiliation with NACOG. That's coming up on every Wednesday through February 27th, and that emphasizes practical strategies to manage falls, correct?
Yes. Believe it or not, a lot of veterans have issues with falls, and they think that that's it. That's just how their life's going to be. And this is kind of a class to help them maybe find out why it's happening or ways that we can help them prevent so they don't have any major falls or what we can do to work with the veterans.
I had Karen Russell from Mountain Valley Regional Rehab on last week about that very topic. She's a former dancer, and she understands the role of not only balance, but also reflexes, agility, and strength as you get older and maybe less active in preventing those falls, because at a certain age, those falls can have lifelong repercussions, can't they?
They can. In fact, I think Joey had a bad fall last year, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Yep, broke my leg. It sort of gave me a taste for what the future may hold, so I've become a lot more sensitive to the needs for fall prevention.
You know what? I've never had a serious injury or serious illness. Knock on wood. And I had knee surgery last year, and I was in a wheelchair for a short time. I was on a walker for a month, and for the first time, I saw what part of my future could be. And it pays sometimes to be exposed to that early on, so you can prepare for it, doesn't it?
Not only that, it makes you sure makes you a lot more empathetic to those around you, especially at the VA when we're working with so many veterans. With so many physical disabilities or challenges.
Yeah, you bet. Mary, that A Matter of Balance, these programs are being held from 10 a.m. to noon each Wednesday through the end of February at the Northern Arizona VA Healthcare System Building 154. That's the library, correct?
That is correct.
And you can contact, you can call 1-877-521-3500 or for the local contact, 445-4860. And that's extension 6815. You've also got upcoming, or you got coming up Valentine's Day weekend. You've got a Veterans Creative Arts and Crafts competition and show. What do you know about that?
So this is an annual event we have, and it gets bigger every year. So this is, we call it the Creative Arts Festival. We here have so many talented veterans. Every year we have more veterans that make it to the national level.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is we average about over 600 veterans through all the U.S. that put their artwork up to the Creative Arts Festival throughout the VAs.
They get
rated, you know, first, second, third place, and they move on to the national level.
Mm-hmm.
So at the national level, last year we had 8 people from our wonderful city of Prescott who won first, second, or third place, gold, silver, or bronze at the national level, which means over, you know, 800 different pieces of art they managed. We had eight. So we're hoping, and the year before that was only 6, the year before that was only 4. Each year we seem to get better and better. But Creative Arts Festival is a wonderful opportunity. Come look at the beautiful artwork. It's everything from paintings to some type of wood stuff. There's everything you can think of.
I see 30 categories on your artistic categories.
And anybody who wants to submit their artwork, it's taken starting January 30th till February 7th, they could submit their artwork to our rec therapist, and the phone number, as you see, is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who wants to come to the actual event, it begins on February 13th, 14th, and 15th.
And also coming up, you have a Project Hero. Join us for a bike ride. When is that?
So we do that every week, actually. It's something that we started, believe it or not, Prescott here, we are the hub for the Arizona. The Arizona does not have a Project Hero, and it's a national program. Mm-hmm. So we have the hub here in Prescott. There isn't one in Phoenix or Tucson, yeah. So we're very proud of it. And it's another thing for first responders. It is a biking group where they get to meet, they ride bikes, some of them talk about, you know, issues, concerns, kind of just a little camaraderie with fellow veterans or first responders of some sort. And we even have a veteran, he's in his 90s, and he can ride circles around some of the younger guys that are in the bike group. So it's, if they want to, anything to do with the bike group, they could just call me at the hospital, Mary Dillinger, 928-717-7587. If you can't write it down, you're driving, just call the main hospital and say, I don't know, Mary on the radio, the operators, they know it's me.
There you go. And also for our veterans, there's a town hall, veteran town hall meeting coming up on February 12th. That's a Tuesday. That's from 5 to 6:30 at the Prescott Valley Public Library, Tuesday, February 12th. Mary Dillinger, Joey Carr, thank you for joining us today on behalf of the Northern Arizona VA Healthcare System. Looking forward to your next visit. Thank you for all the good work you do.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Stay tuned. I've got news and weather coming up, followed by a long chat with legendary comedian Paula Poundstone. How's that for a segue? That's coming up on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and streaming live at kqna.com.
Hi folks, this is Danny Sampson. For the seventh time, Little Dealer Little Prices RV has won the Top 50 award from RV Business Magazine. That's over three times more than any other dealer in Arizona. We are officially recognized as one of the best 50 dealerships to buy from in the United States and Canada. Right now, we have super low closeout pricing on all 2018 motorhomes, travel trailers, fifth wheels, folding trailers, and toy haulers. Come see the difference at Little Dealer Little Prices RV in Prescott Valley, Highway 69 in Truewood.
Windfall Willie here from the Arizona Lottery. What are the odds of a sub-zero blizzard hitting Phoenix? Not good. How about the odds of winning a wrestling match against a barrel of rattlesnakes? Even worse. For the best odds, play my newest game, Triple Twist. With overall odds of 1 in 7.9, your chances of winning have never been better. Hoo-wee! Play Triple Twist today for just $2. Comparison of odds based upon current Arizona Lottery draw games only.
Hi, this is Suzanne Springer at Prescott True Value Hardware. Why not refresh your home and pursue your New Year's resolutions? Prescott True Value has you covered top to bottom, from home repair to kitchen treasures to making the most of your family time together. For 2019, give your home the gift of comfort, performance, and beauty with Prescott True Value Hardware on Miller Valley Road, where we believe behind every resolution is a true value.
Out with the old and in with the new at Lamb Nissan in Prescott. Hello, this is Ed Walsh at Lamb Nissan. Get a fresh start to the new year with huge savings on some of our most popular models. Snatch up a fuel-efficient 2018 Kicks for only $17,348. Drive one of the best-selling SUVs in America, the Nissan Rogue Sport, for only $20,988. Or save $76.50 off MSRP on the 2018 Murano S, now priced under $25,000. The 2018 Nissan Maxima is also priced to move with over 20% off MSRP. That's over $7,000 in savings. Need something bigger to tow your new toys? Save nearly 30% off MSRP on a 2018 Nissan Titan XD, priced under $30,000. Visit LambNissan.com to find your new Nissan and come see why so many people come from Phoenix to buy a car in Prescott. Happy New Year from Lamb Nissan. We're here to serve.
Listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Hey, I know a lot of you listen to KQ&A at work or driving to and from work, but if you haven't yet listened on weekend mornings, you've missed hearing the Contractors and Homeowners Show, Hammer Time, Waking Up with the YCCA with Sandy and Mike. That's at 7 a.m. both Saturday and Sunday. The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane from Waters Garden Center. Everything for your green thumb at 8 and 11 Saturday, again at 8 Sunday morning. And Financial Facts and Tax with Ron and Barbara Stevenson Saturday at noon right here on KQ&A. And there's hockey tonight. It's the Coyotes hosting the San Jose Sharks at 8 o'clock on KQ&A FM 95.5 and 99.9. Stay tuned now for news and weather and Paula Poundstone on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. And we stream live at KQ&A.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Rosie, and we're celebrating 30 years here at Rosie on the House.
Lighting fixtures looking not so inviting? We'll have some do-it-yourself ideas to brighten them up that you can do over a weekend. Rias Air Conditioning will be in to talk air filters, why it's important to change them regularly, and types to look for. Plus, we'll be appearing at the Green Valley Saharita Annual Business Expo and Taste of the Valley.
Rosie on the House, Saturday morning, 9 to 11 on 95.5, 99.9, and AM 1130, KQ&A.
Ready to recycle Northern Arizona? Recycle with Patriot Disposal's Smart Stream Recycle Technology. How does it work? Just put everything in one bin. It's that easy. Patriot Disposal drives one truck down your street for a smaller carbon footprint. Patriot Disposal's material recovery facility separates the recyclables from the waste stream, reducing the amount of trash going into the landfill. Smart Stream Recycle Technology. Call Patriot Disposal at 775-9000 or 203-9995.
The Baleri Professional Building, home to Prescott's premier high-tech business suites, located right in the heart of downtown Prescott. Baleri Business Suites feature high-speed internet, covered parking, and a climate-controlled environment designed for business, medical, legal, and most any general office purpose. New one-year leases available with one additional month free. Call 445-7191 or go to BaleriProfessionalBuilding.com for more information. The Baleri Professional Building, Prescott's business address.
This is America. Football.
Whoa, that'll leave a mark.
Join us for the NFL Conference Championship game live Sunday beginning at noon on KQ&A.
Brought to you by
Northern Arizona Heating and Air,
Affinity RV,
The Prescott Resort,
Outdoor Sports,
Finley Automotive Group,
Wallach and Volk,
Prescott True Value,
Country Bank,
Bucky's and Yavapai Casino,
Little Dealer, Little Prices,
and the Arizona Cardinals.
The AFC and NFC Championships,
Rams at Saints, followed by Patriots at Chiefs Sunday at noon on AM 1130
at 99.9 FM in Prescott and Chino Valley and 95.5 FM
in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood.
KQ&A.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's has the fixtures and the savings to get the job done right. Working on a big bath project? Now you can get up to 35% off select bath faucets, and you can even save up to 20% on select toilets. Plus, order what you need online and pick it up in store. See Lowe'sForPros.com for details. So, pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 3-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. U.S. only.
The Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Wednesday the 16th. I'm DJ Phone with a check of local and state news and weather together. Brought to you by Wallach and Volk. Drivers in Prescott Valley will need to put their handheld devices away.
A town of Prescott Valley ordinance that bans the use of mobile communications devices while anyone is operating a vehicle goes into effect Saturday. Prescott Valley Police Spokesman Officer Jerry Ferguson says there are some exceptions.
Being safely stopped on the side of the roadway. Certain exemptions also are provided for citizen communications with safety and medical personnel and activating or deactivating hands-free use of a device.
Ferguson says violators could face fines.
Our $100 for the first offense and up to $2,500 for any subsequent violations within 12 months of a prior offense.
I'm Gregory Scott reporting.
Mostly sunny this early afternoon. Showers arriving tomorrow night through Friday morning. Some could be heavy, with highs today and Thursday near 50, Friday 47. In Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt, chilling after bedtime to a rainy 33, a sunny, warmer weekend coming. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, a 10% chance for rain today, 70% tomorrow evening, 30% Friday morning, with highs today and Friday near 53, up to 57 Thursday and Saturday, chilling to a partly cloudy pre-dawn low near 36, then warming for a mostly sunny weekend.
This news and weather, a service of Wallach and Volk. I'm DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQNA. Like us on Facebook. Check us out on your mobile device. Listen live worldwide at KQNA.com. Q&A will continue after this.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. One of the great pleasures of this job is being able to interview people who have really made their mark in all sorts of fields of endeavor, including show business, of course. And we have a true legend to talk to today. She is coming to the Yavapai College Performing Arts Center on Saturday the 26th. That's a week from this Saturday for a 7:30 show. Paula Poundstone, who we've been following for many years. Paula, you've done all of the great talk shows. You've hosted your own TV show. You've been on tour now for a long time. So let me ask you this. Does going on tour and stepping out in front of a crowd to make them laugh ever get easy, or does the fact that it's hard make it fun?
It's the best job in the entire world. I have a small shampoo collection that you would not believe. No, it is the best job in the entire world. It's actually scientifically sound that laughter is healing, and being in a room full of people who've come out to laugh for the night, it's not the job that I am the most qualified for. The job that I am the most qualified for was bussing tables. I'm a fantastic table busser. That's not true. I was going to say I never bussed tables for free just to learn how to do it. But that's not true. I did actually used to bus tables for free. Come to think of it. I never really drove a hard bargain financially. Anyways, it is just the greatest job in the entire world. And there are times where I still feel very nervous. There are times where I'm on stage, and although I didn't think I was nervous, I managed to talk myself into a corner, and then I'm nervous. But for the most part, it's just a sheerly pleasurable job. I have the greatest audiences in the world. My favorite part of the night is just talking to the audience. I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? And in this way, little biographies of audience members emerge, and I use that from which to set my sails. So every show is different by virtue of the fact that I don't know who I'm going to talk to or what they're going to say, and that I sort of let that steer me. And so far so good.
Indeed it has been. Take me back to your open mic days in Boston.
It's like trying to decide how the world began. At some point, there were these two guys that had a company called The Comedy Connection, and they booked comics for shows. But where did those comics come from? Because there weren't, there's no working comics in Boston at that time. So I don't really know where the first handful of them came from. But I was probably in the second handful of them, I would think. So the first time I did like a quote-unquote audition for them, which really went disastrously. They made you like audition in front of the comics, like in the middle of the day. And I didn't know anything about how to do it, so I just sort of stood there nervously mumbling. And then they called me up one day and they said, we're going to have an all-women show, which is just laughable because there was... I think that's a stupid idea anyways, but B, the handful of women that were working were terrible too. None of us had any experience, but so they said, well, you come do that show. So in fact, before I really started doing open mic nights, I had done quote unquote professional, I had done like paid work. Now when I say paid, I mean like $10. But I think the day before, maybe it was the day before the audition, I used to live in a rooming house in Boston. You walk up five floors, and you shared the bathroom with, that's down the hallway. And I remember that I was getting ready to go to work at my table busing job, and I put my underwear on the outside of my pants. I didn't walk out of the bathroom like that, but I was just so nervous, like days ahead of time. that I was doing like odd things because I was just beside myself thinking about going on stage. So you can tell that I'm more at ease with my work now because My undergarments are under. That's now, just one of the clues, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure. Now, speaking of wardrobe choices, yours tend to be a bit striking, don't they?
I like a flamboyant suit. I don't know, it's just fun. And I sort of, years ago I had the idea to wear like a zoot suit, and so I had a wardrobe person help me find like a zoot suit store, and I tried one on, and I didn't like the way it fit. It was too boxy. And so we made some tailoring adjustments. And ever since then, you know, we developed a pattern. And ever since then, every so often, I find a piece of fabric that I really like and just bang out another one. I'll tell you, you know, it seems like so decadent to, you know, have my clothes tailor-made. But in truth, I no longer have things hanging in the closet with tags that I never wear, which is what would happen when I would buy stuff at a store. I would get in the dressing room, and then I'd get like nervous, and I'd go, yeah, this will do. And I would go home, and then I would never wear whatever that thing was. So, in fact, I think it saved me money.
Now, I saw you on stage at the Funny Bone in St. Louis years ago.
Oh, my God, that is a long time ago.
Yeah, and I remember you were by far the most improvisational comedian I had ever seen. And I've interviewed several comedians who tell me how strictly they rehearse their act just in case they get thrown off their game, say by a heckler or something like this. But you read the crowd and you respond so well to them. How well versed do you have to be in everything going on in the world to make sense of what these people might come up with on the fly?
Oh, you know what? It's like a conversation. It's funny because, well, first of all, thank you. But, in fact, it's just a conversation. And every conversation that one has is not scripted. And the funniest things that any of us ever say or hear, let's face it, do not come from stage.
Mm-hmm.
You were hanging around with your buddies, right? And somebody said one thing, and then somebody else said another, and then, you know, and then when you try to explain it to somebody else, it never sounds that funny because it was unique to that night.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, that's part of the joy of the, you know, of the experience. You know, people are, you know, I get a fair flow of mail through email, and my assistant works beside me in he has a desk and I have a desk, if you could call it that, and so we spend a fair amount of time side by side, and he'll go through the mail and he'll go, do you remember?
Yeah.
Someone who worked in a cheese factory. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. The cheese factory guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you're so funny on Wait, Don't Tell Me. So what's it like to be a panelist there? And do the panelists do a lot of advance work for it? Or do you just come to the taping with an open mind and roll with it?
Well, a little bit of both, I guess. You know, the genius of the people that make Wait, Don't Tell Me is I first started there, I think, 17 years ago, and we didn't have an audience in front of us at that time. We did it like everybody was in a studio near wherever they lived. Peter was in Chicago, Carl was in D.C., mm-hmm. Adam was in New York, etc. Roy was in his barn. You know, you were just hooked up via headsets. It was like a conference call, I mm-hmm. suppose. And the director was in Chicago, and it was the first time I'd ever done the show, and I was a little bit, you know, I was certainly nervous, wasn't sure what they wanted. And, you know, one of the greatest things I ever heard in my life was the director in my headset saying, jump in anytime, say whatever you want. And they don't just do that with me. The tone of the show with the panelists, and what's great about that is you get great stuff. You know, you bring people on and you let them do their job. You let them do what you hired them to do, and fantastic things happen. I think where that, you know, and I've had a handful of experiences like that in my life. Unfortunately, most of them were just sort of one pop jobs. Like years ago, I did backstage coverage on the Emmys, and I think one of the most joyous things I I ever heard in my life. Maybe only second to my children's laughter. I was at that time no one had done this.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been done a lot, but at that time no one had done it, which was this backstage coverage at the Emmys. And my rehearsals were. I went down to where they were doing the Emmys the day before, and I had some ideas about, because they had to know where I was going to be, obviously, to have a cameraman with me. So I had some ideas about what places I wanted to find out about. And I would stand, on the floor of, say, the lobby, and I would say, "Can you see me if I stand here?" And then I would walk as far as I thought I might walk, and say, "Can you see me if I stand here?" That was my rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
So that night, Angela Lansbury was hosting, and it was so exciting and so much fun. But my favorite thing is, at one point I'm backstage, so the audience, the audience there couldn't see me, I'm it's my turn to talk, and so I'm talking and I'm pointing to things and making jokes and this and that, And I had a stage manager guy with me that was just for me. And the way he would signal me, because I didn't have a set. So the way he would signal me, I can't tell time on stage to save my life,
mm-hmm.
Because I am lost in what I'm doing. So the way he would signal me, he would crawl on the floor and tug on my pants. Because nothing else. Just I'll be over here on the side and I'll wave. I can't see that stuff. So this is what he's doing. He's crawling to signal me this way. So at one point, he's crawling over to signal me, and I can hear through his headset the director saying, "No, let her go. Just let her go." It was so exciting, so much fun. And anyways, wait. Is smart enough to do that, and again, not just with me, but mm-hmm. with everybody. So we know the questions are going to be based on the week's news, because for those listeners who don't know, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a weekly news quiz, comedy news quiz show made by NPR. And so we know the questions are going to be based on the week's news. We don't know specifically what they're going to be. And so I peruse the week's news. I do that. I do not prepare jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then a topic will come up that happens to be something that I have a joke about that I do in my act, and I'll toss it in every mm-hmm. so often. But for the most part, I would say, Jesus, honestly, no exaggeration, 99% of the time. It's just, it's just a great, fun conversation with smart people, most of whom, by the way, much smarter than me, much more aware of what goes on in the world, and who's in what position than me.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of that, not only were you backstage at the Emmys, you were the political correspondent for The Tonight Show for some time also. You were one of the first comedians to play the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Talk about a tough crowd.
I was the first woman. There had been, I think Mark Russell was like one of the
mm-hmm.
first guys to do it. I think he did it for a few years or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite certain. But I was the first woman. I did it when it was the first George Bush. And you know what? It's funny. It's a bigger deal now than it was when I did it. The event itself, they make a bigger deal out of it. It wasn't televised when I did it. It just wasn't. It was much more of an event for the White House correspondents,
mm-hmm.
or really, I don't know if you ever saw the movie His Girl Friday, but they really were back then. Now with all the cable news talk shows, a lot of those guys have become, and women have become like celebrities. But back then, they really weren't. They were really these down and dirty reporters. In fact, even their quarters in the White House. A friend of mine got me a tour years ago. Somebody who was a White House correspondent got me a tour. Was able to take me into the White House and show me where the press corps works and the podium in that briefing room and stuff. And you know what? It was a dive.
Oh.
It was really unfinished basement. Really? Where they were. I'm sure it's not that way anymore. I know the briefing room has been redone because I've seen it. It was really... So anyways, there was just a different feel about it back then. And so it wasn't televised. It wasn't the big deal that they make of it now. And I don't know. The reason that event always creates a kerfuffle is because they don't know what that event is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know if they're entertaining the press, are they entertaining television watchers, are they making a statement, are they network? They don't know what they're doing. So when they decide what it is, it will go very smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I didn't have like a message.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't shaking the world. I was just telling my little jokes.
Now, a lot of comedians like to stretch their comedic muscles. You've been a character in the animated film Inside Out. You've also been doing commentaries for CBS This Morning. So tell me about your book, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness.
My book is its first job is to be a funny book.
Mm-hmm.
It is a series of experiments doing things that I or other people thought would make me happy. But for me, the question was, it was never what would I enjoy. I already know what I enjoy. The question was, what could I do that would leave me with a bounce so that when I returned to the slings and arrows of my regular daily life,
mm-hmm.
that I still had a reservoir, something still left in the tank an overall feeling of uplift and well-being. And every chapter was written as an experiment with the hypothesis and the conditions and the variables, etc. But the analysis part of each chapter was checking back in with my regular life to see, you know, how whatever variable I was using was affecting my regular life. And therefore, and the book took 7 years to write for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that some of the experiments were very lengthy. So it ends up being almost inadvertently, I didn't think to myself, and I'll take 7 years. But so it ends up being the story of raising my children. And the kids, by the end of the book, I think they were all out of the house.
Oh.
So it sort of took a turn that I had not anticipated in the tone of the book. And I have to say, I'd written a book before that called There's Nothing in This Book That I Meant to Say. And there's a literary review place called Kirkus Reviews. I see it on the back of, you'd see it on the back of books all the time, little blurbs from Kirkus Reviews. And
mm-hmm.
when There's Nothing in This Book That I Meant to Say came out, Kirkus Review, I don't know if they had one positive thing even to say about it. I don't recall anymore. It wasn't, but I remember reading the interview, the review, and feeling pretty deflated by it. And so what I decided at the time was that they didn't really know what they were talking about, and they didn't get it, and that sort of thing. Well, now along comes the Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness, and Kirkus Reviews gave it a really great review.
Hmm.
And now I was really stuck because, when didn't they know what they were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's so. Once I had damned them, I was like, uh-oh. Now, suddenly they knew what they were talking about. I don't know how that works. But anyways, both of those books, actually, I imagine this happens with any kind of writing, is that you start in one place and you're like, oh my gosh, this other thing happened while I was writing. And by the way, as a job, I don't know how anybody is a writer. Every time, especially when I was really like under the gun, like something had to be done by a certain amount of time,
mm-hmm.
and I was really, sort of putting everything I had into it, I realized one day that the reason that I chose writing instead of banging my head against the wall is that banging my head against the wall chipped the paint. But that was really the only additional virtue that was the only way that banging my head against the wall that writing outweighed banging my head against the wall.
Well, it's not only apt that you've written a book, books, but also you were the national spokeswoman for United for Libraries, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I think most people think that libraries I certainly thought this, that they were all taxpayer-funded. But that turns out not to be true at all.
Mm-hmm.
There are some taxpayer-funded, but there is a volunteer branch, United for Libraries, that is just regular people raising money
mm-hmm.
To keep their libraries going.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you look around your town, my kids and I, when we go to the library, we used to make a bet all the time about how many people we would see that we knew there. You know, how many people we would bump into that were just friends that we knew.
Sure.
It's certainly never double digits, but we often, they are places of community. Every library is different. There's, I don't know how much of it has to be uniform. I have no idea. But different libraries provide different services for the community. But I will say, just for one example, during the recession, when lots and lots of people were out of work, one of the things a lot of libraries did was have somebody who could help people write resumes.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody owns a computer. And so there were, they had the service of computers. Now, I personally, I can't stand the gaming thing in the children's section. I don't think that's moved us forward. I think what they thought originally was, oh, kids will come in because they enjoy gaming, and then they'll discover books.
Mm-hmm.
Because books are not built to be addictive. they don't have a shot against an electronics addicted child. But libraries, like parents and schools, didn't understand that at the time because those companies cheated and lied to do what they did. For example, our there's reading clubs for kids. There's story time for little kids. Our library here in Santa Monica, my kids and I were at one point they were rebuilding the main library. So they'd taken the children's books and put them in a smaller branch, and it was pretty crowded. And so we were... we grabbed some books and we were sitting at the table reading or looking at the book together, me and my daughter Tosha. And at this table right near us, there was an adult teaching another adult to read.
Oh.
And when I left that day, now I don't even know if they have that same program. I hope they do. But now the main library has homework rooms that you can... sign up for, schedule a period of time to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm sure if they still have that program, I'm sure that they do it privately. But I have to say, when we stepped away and we were walking to the car, two things. One thing is my hair was literally standing on end. And I said to my kids, I said, that volunteer who is working at that job, first of all, is teaching someone who's very courageous because that person had to come forward and say, hey, you know what, I'm an adult and I don't know how to read. Can you help me? And second of all, that volunteer who's doing that work can know for sure. Sometimes you donate money to somewhere and you're like, well, I hope. But that volunteer can know that work she did will have a ripple effect for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, libraries are just like that. They're not they don't just house the bun-toting shushers that many of us remember.
Mm-hmm.
They really are places of community. And you know what? I love books.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, tell us about your podcast.
Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. It's me and my partner, Adam Filber. We call it a comedy advice podcast, but really it's just something to call it. Its main job, like my book, its main job is to be funny, but we have people come through to tell us. Like last night we taped an episode. We brought on a teacher to talk about their what a parent how involved the parents should be in their kids' homework. By the way, I still didn't really get the answer. This is the second teacher that I've asked this of. Whereas when my kids were in school, they had all sorts of opinions. But and who was it? Oh, and we had a casting director come on and talk about you know, the job of casting, and I had and she was coaching me in reading sides. Let me think. We've had an audiologist come on to explain why we have earwax. And what are the pros and cons? We had a guy come on explain how to read your Verizon bill. We've had I don't know. We had a guy who makes snow. Sometimes they come on, just, you know, just in case I could do another job, I'd like to know what the qualifications are and how you do it. And other times they're answering questions that I've had. For example, We had a woman from a plumbing company come in because I can't keep my toilet working. But you know, as I say, then it's the number one. So if you listen and you're like, gee, I didn't find them hysterically funny today, then at least you walk away with a little bit of information. But it's hard for me to say because I'm in the middle of it, but. Gee, I think it's funny.
Speaking of being in the middle of it, we're all familiar with the movie's Punchline with Tom Hanks and Sally Field, the Larry Sanders Show with Gary Shandling, the docudrama Comedian with Jerry Seinfeld and Orny Adams, and the new Netflix series, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Now, as a woman who has climbed the ladder in stand-up comedy, what do these shows and movies get right or wrong about being a comedian?
You know, I haven't seen any of them.
Really?
Not one. I don't know. Those kind of things make me nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Punchline came out many, many years ago. It was like in the 80s, I think, or maybe early 90s. No, I think it was the 80s. I remember when it came out, like a bunch of comics had seen it. And back then, you know, I used to hang out at least a couple nights a week at the Improv in Hollywood, and it was fun. And it was, and especially like, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday were the nights that I could go there because the rest of the week I was on the road in comedy clubs around the country. And so they were like, you know, it was like reunions every time I came home, and almost every comic that I knew at one time or another showed up at the Hollywood Improv, not necessarily even to perform, but just hang out. It was a very fraternal space. And anyway, so the guys that I used to work with back then, when they saw that movie, they were like, there were a lot of complaints among us, I guess, that the details were not accurate.
Sure.
I'm told that the comedians in the movie had lockers in a club.
Oh.
They had lockers, and my friends made hay with that. We don't have lockers.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, we don't.
One last question.
We have very little. I mean, honestly, back at the Hollywood Improv, as much fun as it was, they were always telling comics to get out of the way. You know, they were like, we were always like, don't stand there, move, no, you can't be there. Go, you know, the idea they were going to provide us with lockers is kind of funny. They barely let us stand.
No, like Rodney Dangerfield used to say, no respect at all, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, one last question for you. How did it feel when Comedy Central named you one of the 100 best stand-up comics of all time?
Well, it's very flattering, but, you know, one has to question anything that's listed of all time, because I don't know when time began. My guess is there were some Neanderthals that were, you know, what else did they have to do in the caves? It was very flattering. It's very nice to be considered for anything. Actually, is nice. You know, when I sort of have distaste for ranking things, but at the same time, as soon as I hear there's one out there, I'd be really offended if I wasn't included.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about those women things, you know, when they're like, oh, the history of women in comedy. I think that it's just such a, it's, it's a weird distinction, we're going to do a women's show, or we're going to do a women this or women that. It always kind of turns my stomach a little bit. At the same time, if they chose to do a women this and a women that, and they didn't include me, I think I would feel left out. So, I don't know. I guess I'm just a complainer.
Well, you're also very funny. Paula Poundstone, we look forward to seeing your performance next Saturday. That's the 26th of January at 7:30 at the Yavapai College Performing Arts Center. You can get tickets right now by calling 928-776-2000 or going online to ycpac.com. Paula, you knock 'em dead. Thank you so much for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success in your great career.
Thanks so much. It was fun talking to you.